The disconnect is I'm not willing to like open my heart and be vulnerable with the other human and to share what, you know, what I'm experiencing for fear that maybe love will be withdrawn or it'll be too much or I'll say the wrong thing.
The more you open your heart, the more you feel like it's going to be harder to recover if it gets broken, when in fact, it's the exact opposite. The larger your heart is open, the stronger you are, the more you can understand where love comes from, that it comes from within, and that you fuel that love from within. And when you can fuel that love from within, nobody on this planet can take that love away from you. Welcome to the Akashic Recordings. I'm Annette DeLue, Akashic Conduit, Channel, and Spiritual Guidance Coach.
And I'm Julia Nalivaiko, Storyteller and Creative Producer of Conscious Media Content, such as this podcast. What you're about to hear is a real-life Akashic Records session with Annette and one of her clients, recorded with their permission. For privacy, their names have been changed, but everything else is real.
Stay tuned to the end of each episode where we deep dive into subjects that come up throughout the session.
Today we meet Linda, who has been on her spiritual journey for a while and has come to Annette for help with a few ongoing issues in her life that still feel unresolved.
So tell me, what are we going to cover today?
Let's see. I've been feeling like there's maybe something that I meant to heal in this lifetime with my dad. He's very emotionally unavailable. You know, his heart is, I believe, closed. And so with a lot of the healing that I've done, I just accept that maybe he just isn't able to open anymore in this lifetime. And that's okay. And I accept that. I do feel like it's very reflective of my romantical relationships where like I still accept emotional unavailability in men. I'm just curious to know if there's like something there between my dad and I that could potentially be healed further in this lifetime. And then also I'm building a wellness retreat space and I'm having my first retreat next week.
Incredible.
Yeah. But I'm having these deep fears around all this money that I'm spending. Like it's a visceral response in my body. Like I'm losing a sense of security. I haven't been in this much debt in a long time. And, you know, I know it's an investment and I'm doing it for the greater good and I trust it'll all come back logically, but there's still this deep fear. And so I'm curious to know, is there a lifetime where I was starving and lost, you know, my home or whatever, that I'm having this deep response, even though I'm still moving towards it, but I still very much feel it present in my body.
Absolutely. Okay, so we will get started and I'll let the guides sort of tell us where we need to go first, okay?
Okay.
So your solar plexus, I'm seeing some blockages in there. This has less to do with money and more to do with the confidence you have in yourself. And that is definitely from a previous lifetime. There's a lot of fatigue in your heart right now. You've been giving so much, so much, so much. They're showing me almost like a black hole. So like the feeling that you were getting when it comes to your father, like what you need to heal, there's a reason why you were guided to that, because it's like you're taking your energy and you're just throwing it into a black hole. And that is sort of representative, not just your father, but of like all sort of emotionally unavailable people. And this is not just men. This is men and women as well. This has to do with just not putting forth all of your effort to people and energy that is not giving back to you in any way. Okay. So yeah, that's definitely a pattern that we'll take a look at. It feels like your throat chakra is like stuck between two energies. It's like you're caught between two energies of communication. They're almost like pointing in different directions. So you've got one communication energy that is super clear and super easy flowing and all of that. And then you've got one communication that is just stuck in old energy. And this has to do with how you're expressing yourself. So this is also tied to your father as well as other family members and, you know, people that have known you for a very long time. Because what happens is that when you're speaking to somebody in your new energy, that's sort of exactly where you are now. But then when you see people from your past and who have known you in the past, it's like you revert back to the old energy. And so what we need to do is we need to realign that energy. So you are always in your new energy, no matter who's around you. Okay, so then let's move that energy down into your heart space, keeping us grounded to this earth plane while we access the Akashic records. Thank you to Akula, my Akashic guide. Thank you for being here. Thank you to Archangel Metatron and Archangel Xenophon for being here as well, giving us the information that we need to know. Okay, so we're going to go to the money first. Okay. And the belief that you have in yourself. This is tied to a past life, the solar plexus issue. So let's take a look at what happened in this lifetime to sort of stifle the belief you have in yourself and your personal power. So the first thing I'm seeing is that you are a boy in this lifetime. You're quite young. You're maybe 14 years old and you're working with your father. And your father is the same father you have in this lifetime, actually. And I'm seeing he's trying to get you to be like the picture perfect image of him. He wants you to follow in his footsteps. He wants you to be exactly like him, essentially. He likes the idea of having another person that he can count on that's really exactly like he is to take over the business when he retires and things like that. So he's a cobbler. You're making shoes. You've helped him in the shop since you were a child. So you know what everything is and you're super interested in what he's doing. You're like looking over his shoulder. You're very much fascinated by what he's doing. Even after all these years of observing him throughout your childhood, like you still love watching him work. You love watching him doing the beautiful craftsmanship that he does. And I'm getting that people from all over would actually come to him for shoes. Like he was well sought after. Okay, so we're fast forwarding. You're a bit older now. You're in your early 20s and you have a style of your own and you wanted to actually creatively explore that, but your father did not want you doing that. So he stifled you a bit in the sense that he wanted you to make shoes exactly the way that he made them. If you tried to differ from that, like he would make you redo them. Like if you tried to put a little embellishment or some new design style that you wanted to do, he would make you redo them. Okay, so we're fast forwarding. You're now 35 and your father has just passed away. So you are taking over the shop. And just before he died, business was at an all-time high. And right after he died, nobody came to the store. It was like the business died with him. Even though you had every single bit of skill that your father had, even more skill than your father had, the customers just weren't coming. And part of the issue was that you were trying to fill like his position. You were trying to be him. And so you still continued to make the shoes exactly the way that he did. And instead of branching out and doing the things that you wanted to do, even after his death, you felt that you had to do things the way that he wanted you to do them. You eventually got a couple of new customers, but not enough to sustain the business. And the business ended up folding. Only 6 months after your father died, you had to shut the doors because you couldn't afford to keep them open. Some of the limiting beliefs that you had in your head at the time were like statements of, I can't do this on my own. I'm not qualified to do this. I can't run a business. I'm never going to be as good as my father. Nobody's ever going to accept me. Nobody is ever going to believe that I could do something better than what my father was doing. And so you let it go. And what was really sad is that you really loved it. You loved making shoes. You loved the craft of it. You loved everything about it. And you were letting this love go because you felt that people didn't want you and your craft. When in reality, all you needed to do was shift the perspective and change the energy. So what you needed to do is you needed to run the business the way that you would have, design the shoes the way that you would have, created something new the way that you would have, versus trying to recreate and be your father. So eventually you went on to work for another cobbler. That didn't work either, though, because you were still just doing what they were telling you to do. So it's like this stifling of your own creative energy. It's a stifling of what you were meant to do. So it's like you're living for everybody else's dream but your own. And they're saying to me that you actually, since that lifetime, which was only a couple lifetimes ago, since that lifetime, you have never lived for your own dream. This is the very first time in this lifetime currently that you are breaking out and deciding that you are going to make your dreams a reality. This is part of why you have this fear of not succeeding, this fear that it's not going to work out. It actually has very little to do with money. It has everything to do with your own personal feeling of how successful you can be, what you are capable of, what you are capable of attracting into your life, as well as the confidence that the energy that you are putting out, people will be attracted to. This goes on all levels. This goes on the level of business as well as relationships. If you worry that somebody isn't going to be attracted to your energy, you then, in fear, reach out your energy and try to control a situation or try to make somebody understand or believe that you are as good as you are. There is no convincing that needs to happen. There is no conversation that needs to be had in order to tell somebody that you are good. Your energy speaks for itself. Do you have any questions about that previous lifetime and about what was just said?
No, I felt it deeply in my heart. Yeah, it makes sense. It all makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So one of the things that they're saying to me right now is that when it comes to the event space and the retreats and everything that you're going to be doing, it is brand new energy. It is energy that you are cultivating and manifesting. It's meant to be in your life the way that it is. So what is meant for you will absolutely unfold for you. Mm-hmm. So any worry energy that you put into it is simply just going to delay it. If you can dive into that worry energy and just have a conversation with it. So we're going to actually do that right now. They're guiding me to have you do that. So I want you to imagine that the worried version of you that is concerned that the business is not going to succeed or that you're not going to have enough money. I want you to imagine a personification of her that's standing right in front of you. And I want you to ask her what it is she's truly worried about and what it is she needs right now in order to overcome these worries.
The first word I heard was afraid to fail. And it looks like her inner child is wanting to come forward. And I think the inner child just needs to be reassured that everything's going to be okay and that we are safe.
Is that something you can give her right now?
Yeah.
One of the things I also want you to say to the worried version of you is, if failure did happen in one way, shape, or form, would she still be okay?
Yeah, she would still be okay.
Yeah. So now that she knows that she would still be okay no matter what happens to that worry and that fear?
It totally minimizes.
Yeah. So if you can feel into the inner child version of you as well as the worried version of you and just sort of check in with their energy now and ask them how they're feeling.
They feel lighter.
Beautiful. Okay. So as it pertains to the current business that you're cultivating, understand that we often are afraid or worried about the big failures, like the absolute failure of everything tanking and exploding in a giant fiery ball, right? Like that's the big worry that we have. But we often don't pay attention to the small failures. And the small failures that could happen are simply just course corrections. Mm-hmm. So just understand that if while you're doing this initial stage of the business and you're trying to figure out what works and what doesn't, if there is a small failure, don't look at that as something that could explode into a giant fiery ball. Just look at that as, okay, this is just a course correction, or this is an indication of something that I need to take a look at in order to fine tune. Allow yourself that grace and that space to be able to allow the business to grow and change, because that is something that is sort of rooted in that previous lifetime that we looked at, was that fear of changing and growth for fear that it's not going to work. And it was that lack of growth and change that ended up tanking the business. Had you grown and changed in that lifetime, it would have been successful. So don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of things changing or shifting as you go along the way.
Okay.
So how does that feel now overall?
It feels good. It all makes sense. Tracing it back to then, I can see how these stories come into this lifetime. And yeah, it feels like an unraveling process right now, like, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel a lot lighter about what I'm currently doing, and to just continue to be authentic to myself and whatever is wanting to be birthed through me, and just trusting that it's coming from a higher place, and just, like you said, shifting and changing wherever necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one thing also to keep in mind, is that we are human. And so if these fears come back up again, you can do simply the exact exercise that we just did. So imagine that fear as a personification of you and just have a little conversation with it and say, hey, I noticed you've popped up again. What are you doing here? I'm like, why are you fearful? What's going on? And just have that conversation and really try to get to the bottom of what is really going on in your energy and why is this fear coming up? And then allowing yourself to appreciate it, love it, and move through it as you can. And the more you do that with yourself, the less those fears are going to pop up.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So I think it's a good transition to talk about your father since his soul was in that previous lifetime already. Let's kind of talk about what it is that he is here to show you and what you're here to show him and why you chose him as a father. And then seeing why this is a particular aspect of your relationship life that you need to address in terms of having people that are emotionally unavailable. Do we need to look at any past lives for this? Yes. Okay. How many? Two. Okay. Okay. This, the previous lifetime, the one with your father, it felt relatively recent. They said the last couple of lifetimes. So this one feels like it's a little bit older than that. I'm hearing like seven lifetimes ago and then six lifetimes ago. So they're back-to-back consecutive lifetimes that we're going to look at. Okay. So in this lifetime that we're seeing first, your father is actually a female and he is your mother in that lifetime. And then you are a little girl. She's very, very loving towards you, very affectionate, very emotionally available, which is very interesting that it is the exact opposite of what you are experiencing in this lifetime, this current one. So your father's soul is in your mother's body in this lifetime. Okay, now I understand why they did this. Basically, the reason why they were showing me this particular snippet of that lifetime is because they want you to know that the emotionally unavailable version of your father from this lifetime has nothing to do with him as a soul. So you have repeatedly signed up for experiences in lifetimes where you have unavailable, not present, emotionally unavailable men in your life. In that lifetime that we're just, that little snippet of that lifetime they were just showing us, it was a situation where the soul that is your father now was very loving towards you, but yet the male figure in your life was completely absent. And it wasn't his choice to leave you. He had died, right? So they want this to be very clear for some particular reason. And I think it has to do with you being able to really connect with your father's soul and understand that the role that he's playing for you right now is exactly what you need. Okay. So now we can go back to the live six and seven. The first thing I'm seeing is that you have a brother and your brother is very, very well loved in the family. Your father thinks that he can do no wrong. He's definitely the star of the family. And I'm seeing you sit at a table and you just kind of have your head in your hands and you're just feeling very neglected. I'm hearing him say something to your mother that you overheard when you were a child, which was, what use is a girl? What am I going to do with a girl? He was upset with your mom because he wanted two boys. You worked on a farm, and that's why he wanted two boys in a particular period of time where, although it wasn't right, but people thought that it was the woman's fault for what gender the baby came out. So like somehow she did something wrong in order for you to come out a girl. You tried everything you could to measure up to your brother. So every chore that he did, you tried to do it just as good as he did. You were trying to make sure that you were living up to your father's expectations. And never once did he recognize you for it. Never once did he say anything that you had done a good job. None of that. Like, he basically just told you that you were always in the way. Your brother also very much sort of ignored you most of your life. Your mom was also, interestingly enough, emotionally unavailable in this life as well. Your mom was broken from the emotional abuse from her husband, so from your father. And so she was sort of emotionally shut down. Your father wouldn't accept you. Your brother was basically ignoring you. And that basically created this space of you not being able to really understand or feel what it would feel like to be connected to another person. When you grow up with a disconnect of energy, it's hard to know what real love feels like and what real connection feels like. Your only frame of reference is abandonment, rejection, and withdrawn energy like your mother, that is your only reference for what love or family is supposed to be. Okay, so how did that affect her in later in that lifetime? She continued to keep herself completely separate from other people. She thought she was reaching out to people and being vulnerable and connecting, and she wasn't. It was simply because she didn't know how. Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay, so I'm seeing that you did get married in that lifetime. It was a marriage of convenience, meaning that it benefited both families. So you didn't particularly know your husband or like him necessarily, but you got married anyway. And he constantly accused you of being cold. So what was interesting is that he actually was a relatively nice guy and he was pretty warm in general. But because he came from a more loving family, and only against that contrast did you realize that you had actually grown to be exactly the way that your father and your mother were. You grew to be someone who withdraws their energy and abandons themselves in addition to the people that they're with. So it's almost as if you cut off the ability for yourself to feel because of the lack of knowledge or understanding of how to do it. They're saying you are truly a product of the parentage that you had. All right. Is this the true origin point? Yes and no. There is no specific true origin point. It was something that sort of evolved over time, over the course of lifetimes, just through the experiences that she had. Right. But when we choose our parents, which that is my understanding that we do that, why was she choosing parents that were abandoning her or didn't know how to love? That is exactly the right question to ask. The reason why she chose these types of situations to incarnate in is because she needed to unravel what it means to truly open your heart. And she didn't know what that meant prior to having these experiences. In order to have the full abundance of heart, love, connection, you have to experience the contrast of what that is in order to fully appreciate what it means to be fully operating from your heart space. This lifetime that we're going to look at now, was this also one that she had chosen to experience this contrast? Yes. Okay. And again, to bring it back to your current father, they want to make you really understand that it has nothing to do with your father as a soul, because his soul is simply playing a role for you in order for you to have the experience you need to have in this lifetime to be fully heart open. He has the capability to love. He has the capability to be emotionally available. His soul does. Imagine it like he is an actor in a play, and this is the role he is meant to play in your life at this time. It can also change at any time. The more you open your heart to him and live in that open-hearted space, the more it allows him to start to open his heart as well. That does not mean you pouring energy into him or into anyone else. What this means is that you stay in your own energy. You send them love from afar. You send them love in the etheric realms. You work on that forgiveness within your heart, and you show up in that vulnerable space. The two divergent colors in your throat chakra need to merge into one. So you're speaking with one voice, that aligned heart-led voice that allows you to express who you truly are now and allow your father to accept who you truly are now from an energetic perspective. All of this work can be done on the energetic planes. It doesn't need to happen in the three dimensions. All of the work that is done on the spiritual plane will eventually ground into the three dimensions. It has to. It is changing your reality. And that is what you are in the process of doing at this moment. Accepting him for where he is in non-judgment and grace, and allowing him the space to come to you when he's ready. Okay. Before we go into that seventh lifetime, do you have any other questions about that?
No, at all. Okay. It all deeply resonates and makes all the sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're showing me that in this seventh lifetime, there's more of the same type of energy, but there's something specific in this lifetime that's important for you to know. So let me take a look at where that is. So part of this has to do with the heart opening and the fear of the heart opening. I'm seeing in the beginning of this lifetime, seven lifetimes ago, you had grown up with a boy. His parents were really good friends with your parents, and so you grew up together. And I'm seeing you grab hands and you're spinning around together. You're having a great time and your heart is just bursting open. And this is a heart opening that you hadn't had thus far in any of your incarnations. It's more heart, loving energy than you had ever experienced before. And this was something that was just miraculous for you. It was beautiful. It was everything. And you lost this friend. It wasn't anything super dramatic, but it was just you sort of went on separate paths in that lifetime. And that in and of itself was enough to kick in that energetic feeling of being abandoned. And you knew that he wasn't abandoning you. You understood why he had to go his way and you had to go yours. But it was like that fear that seeped in that was like, I don't want to open my heart anymore, because if I do, it's going to hurt 10 times more than it would have if it was a little bit more closed. So the more you open your heart, the more you feel like it's going to be harder to recover if it gets broken, when in fact, it's the exact opposite. The larger your heart is open, the stronger you are, the more you can understand where love comes from, that it comes from within, and that you fuel that love from within. And when you can fuel that love from within, nobody on this planet can take that love away from you. Nobody can break your heart to the point where you're going to be a puddle in a million pieces. Mm-hmm. The only way that you are a puddle in a million pieces is when you fully give your entire power and your ability to love to another person. So there's a difference between feeling that love within yourself and exchanging that love with another person, which is that beautiful, healthy interdependence, versus the codependence of placing your entire happiness or love in another person's hands. And so that's what happened in this past lifetime, where you basically said, I don't want my heart to get broken like that. So I'm gonna just close up shop and not worry about doing that anymore, because it's too much. So oftentimes when we are showing up in relationships and we think we're being open-hearted, but yet we are getting emotionally unavailable people, usually what that means is that we need to open our heart more. Mm. That maybe we are being slightly, maybe not all the way, but slightly emotionally unavailable ourselves. Mm. And what does that mean? Well, that means that we might be emotionally unavailable to ourselves. So how often do you check in with yourself and ask yourself, okay, how am I feeling? Do I feel aligned with this? Does this make me happy? Do I feel the love in this? Where am I feeling this in my body? And that's where you start. You start with what is going on within you, because that outward reflection of what we are seeing in our three-dimensional world, it is simply just reflecting back at us the things that we are feeling inside, or the things that we need to look at inside. So can I ask you, how often do you sort of check in with that inner child? How often do you check in with yourself internally?
Well, for the last couple, 3-4 months, I'd say I've been working on this part of myself, because it's just been a pattern and it's created a lot of pain within me. So I've started to, when those feelings come up of, you know, feeling unsafe in connection with another or whatever, I come back to my inner child and reassure her and, you know, do my best to love her, and just giving myself the ability to feel whatever it is that I'm feeling. If I need to throw myself on the ground and sob for 30 minutes, I'll do that, you know, without trying to run away my emotions. I'm getting a lot better at honoring whatever is wanting to be expressed through me.
Sure.
I think the disconnect is I don't often feel comfortable sharing it with another. So I have this experience, but I'm not willing to, like you've mentioned, open my heart and be vulnerable with the other human and to share what, you know, what I'm experiencing, for fear that maybe love will be withdrawn or it'll be too much or I'll say the wrong thing or whatever, whatever. But I'm definitely getting better at it.
When was the last time you told your father exactly what you were feeling inside?
I don't think I ever have.
Yeah. What would it feel like to be able to give him a call and tell him exactly how you're feeling?
It feels scary. It feels uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah. So we're going to do a little practice. And what I would like you to do is imagine that you are in a bubble of divine light protection. And I would like you to imagine that your father is on the other side of this bubble. And I want you to imagine that you're creating an opening or a doorway for your father to come into the bubble. And I would like you to invite in his higher self, his soul into the bubble. And I want you to sort of check in with yourself and see how you feel about that. How does that feel?
Feels good.
So I want you to imagine that he's walking inside the bubble. And I want you to imagine that you grab both of his hands. And I want you to feel free to say anything you need to say to him. Anything that's in your heart right now that you really need to say to him. Just go ahead and say it.
I love you so much, Dad. I love you so much. I've only ever wanted you to tell me that you love me back.
Were you able to get a response from him?
No.
Okay.
Not yet, anyway.
Okay. Just give it a minute and you can just listen, see if he has anything to say.
He's saying, of course I love you. And then he's giving me one of those hugs that he like pats my back.
Can you ask him why he's not been able to express it to you?
He's saying he wasn't taught how. Like, he just doesn't know how.
Yeah.
And he expresses it through doing things, like providing, you know, financially.
Right. Can you express to him how you would like to receive that love?
Asking me questions, wanting to get to know who I am, how I'm feeling, being curious about me and my inner world, maybe connecting about childhood memories.
I'm hearing him say that it's hard for him because you're so much more advanced than he is as a soul, and he doesn't know where to start in terms of asking who you are. He knows who you are on a soul level, but he doesn't know where to start to ask. And he thanks you for mentioning the childhood memories because that's a place where you can start. That's a place where he definitely can start to understand and to be curious. And he's asking you if you can be curious about him too.
I just got that too.
Yeah.
Before you were saying it, like I need to also lean in. And I could be curious about his childhood and his upbringing and ask him questions.
Yeah, it's a really good place to start. So you can ask him if he has any last messages for you before we close out the sacred space with him in it.
I'm hearing I love you. I thank you for trusting.
Beautiful. How does that feel in your heart space?
I think there's still a part of me that is closed off to receiving it.
Do you want to chat with that version of you to see what it is that that version of you needs in order to open further?
Okay. It feels like reminding that part of me that I am worthy of receiving love.
Yeah. The other aspect that I also got during that connection with that version of yourself that is still holding back a little bit is the lack of trust within yourself that you can draw healthy boundaries surrounding giving of your own energy. So in the past, in order to get approval, get love, you would give more and more and more and more of yourself. The more somebody would pull away from you, the more you would give.
Mm-hmm.
This part of you is saying that in order for you to trust yourself in this space of the greater heart opening is to understand that the greater heart opening does not mean giving of all of your energy. What that means is opening up a space within your heart for somebody to come in, to share a space with somebody for any given amount of time. And allowing that person to come in and out, and that love still stays constant. So if your father calls you and you have a beautiful conversation and then you don't hear from him for 4 weeks, your heart stays open during that entire time, but you also allow him the space that he needs to do whatever he's going to do and not question whether or not his love for you has waned in that period of time.
Mm.
And that goes for any relationship as well.
Mm.
Then when it comes to what you need, let's say in the 3D realms, when it comes to relationships, that is something that you will be newly defining as you move forward. You will be able to feel the energy of the person who is able to love. When you feel the energy of somebody who is maybe more closed off or not available, you will feel that immediately too. And when you are in a fully heart open space and the other person isn't, there's nothing you can really do other than allow that person to either come in or leave your life at will, draw the boundaries that you need to draw, but still keep your heart open during that process. So if you do need to draw boundaries with somebody, if they are unavailable, you can simply say, I love you. I clearly see that you need to take the time that you need to take, and I honor that, and I'm going to go and do what I need to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can really start connecting to that space within your heart to start connecting with others who are just as open-hearted as you are. The problem up until now is that you have been in a space of not being open-hearted. So that is exactly what you've been attracting in the energetic space.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you open your heart, the more you're going to start attracting people who are also open-hearted. So I want you to feel into that in terms of how would that feel for you to have somebody come into your space as a relationship who would be fully open-hearted? How would that feel for you?
It feels beautiful. It feels caring, loving. I feel honored.
I want you to anchor in that feeling, and I want you to generate that feeling as often as you can. I want you to connect to that feeling of giving and receiving love equally, of being in a heart open space, of the expansiveness of that feeling, that soaring feeling, that peaceful feeling,
mm-hmm.
knowing that that is here for you. And the more you're able to be in that space, the more you are going to exude that energy, and that person is just going to come walking into your life.
Mm-hmm.
It has no option other than to do that, because when you are in that energy and you are manifesting that energy, it has no option but to come to you and find you. Do you have any other questions about your father or about your relationships? Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's, you know, it's amazing that I've been able to witness some of these patterns that I've, you know, have time and time again. And like you said, continuing to open my heart, because it's easy to close the heart, you know, it's safer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. How do you feel overall?
I feel good. Yeah, I feel good. I feel lighter.
Beautiful.
A lot more at peace.
Good. Okay, so I am going to close the Akashic Records. Thank you so much to Akula, my Akashic guide, for aiding us in this session today. The records are closed. The records are closed. The records are closed.
We want to acknowledge and thank Linda for her courage and willingness to be vulnerable and allow us to record her session. So Annette, how was this session for you?
There were a lot of themes that we covered in this session that I have personally been working on, I would say, pretty much my whole life.
What was it about this session that had a strong resonance for you?
The main theme that really resonated for me was the concept of emotional unavailability. And that could present itself in the way of romantic relationships or even with parents, it can. It shows up in so many different ways in your life when you are dealing with the emotional unavailability. It's such a paradox a lot of times, because when you come across people who are emotionally unavailable, it's like you're attracting that energy because you yourself are not emotionally available to yourself. I've had to work on this over and over and over again. It just came up again yesterday when I was like, oh, I thought I had cleared all of that. Well, clearly not. Had to clear out another little layer of that.
The subject matter of emotional unavailability, I mean, who hasn't dealt with that sort of stuff, right? What is it about the constant presence of emotional unavailability in so many people's lives? Why are we like this?
It's a really good question. I don't necessarily have all the answers, but I can say that from my personal experience in my own life, it had to do with not feeling safe in the way that I was being loved. For example, my father was never taught how to love. He didn't know what it meant to love somebody. So he loved in the best way that he knew how. But then me as a child, here I am, you know, not understanding anything about the world as a child, but knowing what pure love feels like and knowing that I wasn't getting it from my parents, right? Because they were focused on their traumas. They were focused on what they were going through. And they weren't able to give me that pure, unconditional divine love in the way that I thought they should be giving it to me. Now, that's the other layer of that is that were they giving me the love that I could not accept or receive because of the way that it was being given? That's kind of what love languages addresses, is how being loved is just as important as how you're giving love and how that other person is receiving it. So from that perspective, I could say that my dad was emotionally unavailable because he didn't know how to love. But then the way that he did love me, was I able to receive it? It's kind of a two-way street here in a lot of ways. I'm sure have both dated men who are literally just not available, right?
Yes, we have.
So not responding to text messages ever, or for like weeks on end not responding, or whenever there's any sort of emotional intimacy that they sort of clam up and they can't handle it and then they run away. That type of thing can often happen when we've been in situations where love feels unsafe to us. So most of the time, if you come across an emotionally unavailable person, it is because they're in their wounding about receiving love. Either there's a worthiness issue or there's a feeling of, well, the way that I was loved was not safe. So there can be a myriad of reasons.
And then this ends up being a trauma that we end up perpetuating, because as per the session with Linda, this was something that she had, in a sense, inherited from her father. This is how he was towards her, and she reciprocated that way of being, which is then the way that she went out into the world.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also, like in the case of my childhood, what I was doing was playing out that same scenario over and over again, because if I feel like my father didn't love me, which, by the way, for the record, was not true. My dad loved me very much. It was just I could not see the ways in which he was loving me, and I didn't understand it. And so because of that, I was going to every person I was dating wanting that validation of love.
Or seeking to be loved in the way that you were not getting from your father.
Correct. And we know what that usually gives us.
Sadly, yes.
More of the same. More of the same. Yeah.
More pain, more dramas.
Yeah.
What about in your life? What was your journey with acknowledging that that was happening and working through it?
Well, I mean, it took many, many, many years. It took a lot of therapy. It took a lot of spiritual work. It took a lot of going within myself. And it wasn't until I started doing the inner work within myself that I actually started to heal it. I remember sitting in my therapist's office saying, like, I don't understand. Why is it that I'm dating the same person, literally in 10 different men? Like, over the course of the last several years, it's literally been the same situation over and over again. And I'm like, I don't even know how that's even possible. I want a relationship. My energy is saying, I want love in my life, and I'm open to love in my life. And it's literally the only thing that I have really struggled with in my life is having a really healthy romantic relationship. Now I know why, given my life purpose and why I had to struggle through that. I remember just having such frustration because I was like, I meet a completely different guy in a completely different way. And the first few dates, it's great. And then all of a sudden, emotional unavailability. I'm like, why are they giving me the same experience? Well, now I know, based on energy, based on the fact that we lead with the energy that we have, and that we are getting the experiences we need in order to up level and to do the things we need to do. It was hard and it was painful. I literally had to hit sort of frustration rock bottom, so to speak, before I had to say, okay, you know what? Clearly what I'm doing is not working. I need to try something else.
And sadly, that is the truth of life, that this is what it usually takes for us to wake up to a particular behavior pattern. As you said to Linda in the session, through the fact of encountering emotionally unavailable people is a good indication that she's being emotionally unavailable herself and to herself. And that's the bit that I found particularly interesting. And I wonder if you could explain a little bit more what that means to be emotionally unavailable to ourselves.
So I'll use an example of just yesterday when I was with Simona. If you haven't heard the Heart of You episode where I interviewed Simona, there's two episodes actually you can go back and listen to. Simona is an incredible therapist. She works with EFT, NLP, and sophrology. We were just talking about something and catching up, and that's when the inner child thing came up. When I was connecting into one of the emotions that I had, it was anger, and then it was hurt for fear of not being accepted and loved. And so the way that I present that in my inner child is, when I'm afraid that I'm not going to be loved the way that I want to be loved, I retreat. I cut off my energy from the person that I'm afraid of loving or I'm afraid doesn't love me. So instead of saying, okay, well, I really want love, so I'm going to love this person with all my heart, it's, I don't trust that this person is going to love me and that it's going to be safe for me to love them. So I'm going to retreat within myself and withhold that love, thereby making myself emotionally unavailable. It's a paradox almost, because you're wanting love, but yet you're turning that love off within yourself because you're afraid that you're not going to get it.
Why do we turn it, the love off for ourselves? I mean, I understand the concept of turning it off for the other person because we're scared to show it because in case that it's not reciprocated. But why would we direct that lack of love towards ourselves in the same process?
Well, they can be two different things. Being emotionally unavailable to the other person because of their emotional unavailability. It's like a reciprocal energy that happens. And when you say, oh, I'm open to love. And then you bitch and complain about the things that have happened, that doesn't have an open energy. That's all about your responses and reactions to the other person or what has happened. When you're emotionally unavailable to yourself, that is exactly what I was talking about with the inner child. So that inner child that I connected to yesterday, she had been screaming at me for however long, and I hadn't paid attention to her. And that is actually one of the hazards of what I do, is that I end up doing this for so many other people, and I forget to do it for myself sometimes. I need beautiful friends like you and like Simona that I can sort of bounce these things off of, so then I can actually start working on those things myself. So that little version of Annette was basically like, hey, I'm still in this bubble and I'm still wanting love and nobody's giving it to me. And why? Why is it that this isn't happening? And so I had to pay attention to her. So what I did in the meditation, I popped the bubble that was around her. And the second I popped the bubble, she felt super scared. She was like, I don't like the idea of all of this love coming to me because I don't know what that's going to feel like. I don't know if it's going to be painful. I don't know if it's going to be hurtful. I don't know what it's going to be. So I said, it's okay. You can cling to me as long as you need to. So I was able to give her the hug and the comfort and everything that she needed to be able to stay open to love, even though she feels scared about that potential. And, you know, I have to say that one of the most powerful things about this work is the outward reaction of what happens in your 3D experience. The second I did that, my divine counterpart messaged me. Literally the second I did that. It's amazing. So when I did a lot of this work surrounding my father, it took probably a good year of spiritual work before I was able to really get to a place of peace surrounding my father. And my dad was not somebody who would really offer up information. And one day he just called me out of the blue and said, you know what, honey, I'm really sorry that I didn't love you the way that you needed to be loved, because I was never taught how.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful result out of that. But having said that, and this is kind of jumping back to some of the things I think you said in the session, is that we can't necessarily count on those things happening because the other people in our lives, they're on their own journeys. Mm-hmm. And the key is to be in connection with ourselves and in peace with ourselves, and to put some detachment, to put some space between our own peace and then our expectations of other people. The point being is to keep your expectations low, but your hopes high?
Well, yes and no. I would say you can keep your energy in a space of knowing that this is working regardless of whether or not you're seeing the actual physical results yet. Because you may not see the physical results in the 3D until a year from now or a couple of years from now. And it may not even be from the person that you want it from. Let's say you're doing work surrounding an ex-boyfriend and you're hoping that it'll be the ex-boyfriend that reaches out after you do this work. It may not be the ex-boyfriend. It may be somebody completely new who's going to be amazing for you, who shows up in exactly the energy that you want. You have to be open to how it's going to show up for you in your life.
Yeah, interesting, interesting. But to come back to the question of emotional availability to ourselves, let me see if I'm understanding what you're saying correctly. When we are being emotionally unavailable to another, be it as a something that we initiate or as a response to how they're being to us, then inevitably we're also closing ourselves to ourselves. The two are inextricably linked.
They are linked. But if that pattern doesn't repeat in your life, let's say if it was an isolated incident and just this one person, but then the next person you dated, let's say there was another issue or a different issue, or maybe it was a great relationship, then that's fine. You know that that's not something you really need to work that hard on. But ultimately, whenever there is an outward expression of something in your life, so something that is presenting itself to you, most of the time there is some element of that experience that is showing you something that is within yourself. The problem with that with most people is that a lot of people have no idea what their energy is showing. When they are showing their energy, but yet their human self or their conscious mind is thinking the total opposite, they're like, well, I don't understand why we're having this experience. I mean, it's exactly what I said earlier about myself. I was saying to everybody in the world, just love me. Oh my God, I just want romantic love. That's all I want. And yet my inner child was saying, nope, don't want that. That's scary. And that's really awful. And I don't want to experience that. So my energy was saying, nope, nope, stay away. I don't feel safe. And my conscious self was saying, that's what I want. So basically the reflection to me was what my energy actually is versus what I think I want. It is just simply how you're showing up in your energy.
Okay, good. So that question is now nice and clear, and none of us need to be emotionally unavailable ever again because that we've sorted that out.
Yeah.
Great, great.
You know, I wish it was as simple as that, you know, but yeah, I mean, clearly just from the story I told today, like as of yesterday morning before I went out to lunch with Simona, I was like, yeah, I'm totally available, totally emotionally available. Okay, clearly my inner child from whenever that was, I don't remember what age I was when I connected with her, but clearly there was still a portion of my energy that was in that. Now, is that a big portion of my energy? No, because I have been witnessing over the course of the last several years, I'm being more attracted to the experiences that are more aligned for me. And so clearly the work that I have done has been working. It's just the matter of these are still just those last little bits.
It unravels.
It does.
And that's the process.
Yeah, exactly.
That is what it is. The solution that you offered Linda in the session to said emotional unavailability to herself was to keep an open heart. That is something we hear very often, but what does it actually mean?
I think it means something different for everyone.
What does it mean for you?
For me, what it means is being able to be vulnerable, have intimacy emotionally with somebody, with the knowledge that I'm not going to fall apart if that is not reciprocated. So to be able to be open-hearted is to have strength in the feeling of yourself that you are able to still love without the need for it to be something that you are placing some high expectation for.
That's a beautiful description, actually. Does that mean that we're necessarily more open to being vulnerable, but we're still scared? So it's still a matter of working through a lot of fears before coming through to that point.
It's not really possible to be super open-hearted all day, every day, because if you really connect to your energy at any given moment, you can feel the expansion or contraction of your energy. You can be open-hearted most of the time, and that's what you can kind of hope for. And that is one way you can check in with yourself to see if you are being open-hearted. Because if you're being open-hearted, your energy is going to be expanding. And you're going to feel that expansiveness of your energy. If you are feeling contracting, like if you're in frustration or jealousy or pain, that's going to feel like a much more contracting energy. And you can know that you're not going to be in open-heartedness at that point. The thing is that we are still human. So even being on this ascension process, you still have to experience the human emotions. It's the law of balance, right? To live in bliss all day, every day is just not something that's really sustainable here. And we're not here to avoid all unpleasantness and be in bliss all day, every day. That's not why we're here. I mean, there are some people that have signed up for vacation lifetimes, but that's for another subject. But it's ultimately to have the experiences that we're meant to have. So when you live in that open-heartedness, a lot of people are afraid that being open-hearted means, oh, well, that means somebody's going to come and step on my heart and I'm going to be in pain. And what I say is that being open-hearted and being able to stay that way is the ability to have the strength to say, no matter what happens, I'm still going to be okay.
This is obviously very clear and resonant, what you're saying, but I'm also imagining that there's probably a very gray area because there's always risk involved.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you're dealing with somebody who you have a good feeling about and you feel like you can trust and all of that sort of thing, you can never really know in the interest of being true to ourselves, like in the interest of only investing in things that are truly worth investing in versus throwing yourself into something because you're saying to yourself, I'm fearless and I'm not afraid of being hurt. How does one tread the line between those two things?
It's a feeling of you're just going to go into every situation like, I love everything and everyone and I'm very, very happy to meet you. And like, this is going to turn out just great. And that's, you know, that toxic positivity. That can be a problem, definitely, because if you go into that emotional bypassing, it's kind of another way of actually abandoning yourself because you're not being true to the emotions that you're having. That can also be dangerous because if you're in that space and you're not checking in with your energy with somebody. So if you meet somebody new and you're like, I'm going to go in open-hearted and just see where this goes, but you're not really checking in with the other person's energy to see if like, okay, maybe I need some boundaries around this. Because being open-hearted doesn't mean not having boundaries. It just means that you have to have strength in yourself to know your own boundaries, what you're willing to accept, what you're not willing to accept. And then understand that being an open-hearted can also mean I'm loving you from afar. So if you have a family member who is abusive, let's say, you've been able to forgive them, that does not mean that you need to be in a relationship with them in any way. But what you can do from an open-hearted standpoint is maybe send them really good loving energy from afar. And that's the best thing you can do.
I think that's really good that you've made that distinction. In my impression anyway, I feel like there is miscommunication around this subject matter. Mm-hmm. And certainly this idea of like, especially for women, you know, throwing ourselves into something, misregarding the red flags and the signs and our own intuition and all of those sorts of things. And then that's how we end up getting hurt and retreat back, you know, licking our wounds. And we think to ourselves, but I went into it, you know, open-hearted and like fully committed. Like, what did I do wrong? I think it's a beautiful thing to have that distinction made that you perhaps were not true to yourself while you did that. Because yes, you had the best intention when you did that, but were you wise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And expectations have a lot to do with that as well. So like, I know one of my things that I have been known to do is that when I meet somebody, I'm already sort of outlining what the future is going to look like, right? And I mean, it makes sense given what I do, and it's kind of part of my gifts and what I do. And then some of it is just my own girly brain saying, oh, I want this to happen, you know? So it's like there are elements of this, and you and I were talking about earlier, that there are times, especially when it comes to like a romantic connection, that the guides basically won't tell me anything. Like, they're like, no, you're not meant to know. Like, you need to let this unfold.
I've said this to you before, but personally, I find great comfort in the fact that with all of your gifts and abilities, you still can't necessarily predict what's going to happen for you in the future romantically. So that might give comfort to someone else too. That this is something that we all struggle with, no matter our gifts.
100%. 100%. With my life and soul purpose, which is to anchor unconditional love onto the planet and help redefine what it means to be in relationship. It's what I'm here to do. And it is the one thing I cannot get information on. And it's the one thing that I cannot predict, which I just find super funny and ironic. And my whole life, my guides will gladly give me all sorts of answers on all kinds of other subject matters. But then when it comes to romantic connections, it's like, nope. I'm like, okay, thanks. You know.
Sorry, but in this particular instance, you have to be human just like the rest of us.
Exactly.
Come sit by me, pour your glass of wine, and, you know, we'll have a good old whinge about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And actually, we just did earlier tonight.
We certainly will take advantage of that opportunity. Yeah. All right, cool. One of the things that came up in the session, and this was something that you pointed out quite specifically, was that her father in this lifetime, she had incarnated with on a number of occasions in previous lifetimes already, and he hadn't necessarily had the same relationship with her. So in the sense that he was emotionally available to her in previous lifetimes, and that it wasn't specifically related to his soul that he was presenting in this way, that this was a role that he was playing or portraying for her as per their agreement before their lifetime. So I'm wondering why in his specific case that was relevant to point it out.
If it had been the case where her father, his soul had been in her previous lifetimes and had played the same role over and over again, it could have been something that they were trying to unravel together. It could have been a trauma or something that they went through together that they were trying to work through over the course of lifetimes. So the purpose of them showing me that lifetime where her father was her mother and was incredibly loving, that basically just showed us that this wasn't a pattern that they were working on. This wasn't something that the souls had agreed to work on together so they could move through something. This was simply her father's soul showing up for a particular purpose in each individual life. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I guess the continuation of that question is, it's not a pattern that they have together, but it is a pattern that she had chosen to re-experience over and over again, this concept of emotional unavailability. So in the way that souls work together, why not have another soul involved that also needs to work on that issue? Why get an actor to play a role?
It really just depends on the soul connection. There are members of soul family, which we can get into the definition of that at a later time, but members of our soul family, it's basically like we're all souls who are working on a similar theme. So let's say it's forgiveness or emotional unavailability or whatever it happens to be. And so every single member of that soul family is going to be working on some part of that. So we will continue to work with the same souls over and over again because we're all working on the same theme. Because we can't exist in a vacuum and we need outside information to be able to have different experiences, we will have people who are not part of our soul family come into our experience. We'll have people that we've never met before as a soul, and they'll just be a soul that'll be like hanging out going, hey, I want to learn from you, or I want an experience that you have. Can I give you this experience and then we can go through this together? And then I can be the villain in your story, or you can be the villain in my story, and we can work this all out. And then that way we can get to this place of expansion together. Even if it seems like the other person is not as evolved in the human form, they might be more evolved than you in spirit form. You don't know. So there's various reasons why we choose to work with certain souls. Sometimes it's just because we've worked with them for a couple lifetimes and like, oh, hey, I like you. And this seems to be working out. Let's work together again.
It's really no different to how we do things in the 3D. If you hire someone for a job and they do a good enough job, then rather than going to have to look for someone else, you just hire them again.
Totally. 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
And then there are times that I've seen also in other sessions where you decide to work with that new person and you come down here and it's a disaster. And you're like, I'm not going to work with that soul again, you know? So it just depends on what you're working through, how often you need somebody from the outside, you know, that sort of thing. So, for example, my father, I had never had a lifetime with him before. And so that was this lifetime that I had with him was the first, and from what I understand, will probably be the last lifetime with him. From what I understand, the information that I have as of now, this is my last lifetime on Earth. I have been shown where I'm going next.
Care to tell us?
It's interesting. I was in the south of France, so Villefranche-sur-Mer, and I just was floating in the sea, just thinking, you know, there really better be an ocean or a sea where I'm going next.
That's so something you would think.
I know, it really was. So I was like, okay, guides, angels, can you tell me? Because I don't know if I could live without sunsets and without the sea and without pizza, but that's a whole other thing. But like, at the very least, like, I wanted to know about like the sea, right? And so I was just kind of laying there and I went into this vision and they showed me where I was going next. And the water was pink and orange, not like it is when it's reflected off of a sunset. It was just, it was really, really beautiful. I could have just chalked that up to my own imagination, right? Because sometimes these things are our imagination. We use our imagination for our intuition. So, you know, okay, I'm willing to accept that that could have been it. But then I was having a conversation with Angie. Angie is our friend who's a medium. And I was explaining the experience that I had. And she goes, oh my God, I've seen that place. And I was like, no. And she was like, yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about. Because she and I are actually also soul family. And I believe that this is her last lifetime on Earth as well. So I think she had seen where we're going, basically.
That's all that matters then, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Just got to work on the pizza part.
Can you bring a recipe with you for this?
I will write it into my soul.
Well, just imagine if they don't have it there yet. You could make a mint.
Can you imagine, like, everybody else is writing soul contracts and then, like, I get to the other side and... And my whole spirit team is like, Annette, these are a bunch of pizza recipes. And I'm like, yup, bringing them with me.
What can I say? I went to Earth. I sussed out what was really important there to take elsewhere. I made sure I did.
It's pizza, cats, and the ocean. Full stop. That's all. That's all I need.
Annette in a nutshell. Well, I hope we get to bump into each other in another galaxy somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Okay, Annette, so I had one more question that really came to mind while listening to the session, which was the reason that you explained Linda had chosen to have this trajectory over and over again of experiencing emotionally unavailability and closed-hearted people throughout her different lives was because she, as a soul, wanted to experience what the opposite of living with an open heart felt like. Do we all seek to experience the opposite of love in whatever particular form that lack of love comes in so that then we can experience what love really is?
Yes, if that's something that we are choosing to work on. It may not be your life purpose to experience that particular thing. But let's say experiencing betrayal as an opposite to loyalty is something that you need to work on, then that's something you'll experience, right? It just depends on what your current life purpose is, what your soul trajectory is, what your soul purpose is. Because of the duality on this planet, we do need context. So if you can imagine anybody that you've dated.
Jeez, I don't like, I want to go down that path.
Okay, I haven't finished yet. Okay, imagine they were, let's say, nice, had a good job, relatively stable. And depending on where you were in your life at that moment, that may have felt boring. That may have felt like not aligned or not exciting, right? So it's something that we saw in the episode with Jackie, where she had the choice between two men. One was very stable, one was very loving, and she found him boring. And she ended up going with this other guy who was basically a sociopath and ended up killing her. So did she need to experience that? Maybe she did. Maybe she needed that extreme experience in order to then appreciate the person that she is with now. And in fact, she is with
that person.
That person now in her current lifetime.
Who may not be presenting as boring or whatever no. as it might have done in a previous lifetime, but right. but certainly with an energy that is stable and yes. and something that she is no longer perceiving as boring.
Right. So that's why we have these sort of ups and downs or these experiences of having contrast, is because the contrast is what gives us the context. And I have heard it said by various different spiritual teachers and whatnot who say, you know, it's what gives the earth that yummy feel. You know, it's like it helps earth to be more exciting. And that's why people want to come here. And where that may be true, that may be true. And I could see how that could be true. But there's always, I feel like there's always contrast everywhere, because when we're in our pure soul, then there's always going to be a space in the universe where there's an absence of a soul. There are various levels of where your soul is based on where you are. In other words, if you're in the various dimensions that are close to Earth, there are going to be various levels of duality or various levels of contrast. There's going to be some element of energy that is different than yours, unless it is completely returned back to divine source energy. Within the universe, you have a soul that has been broken off from divine source energy, and that will continue to be sort of separated from, if you will. It's not the best way to describe it, because we are always connected, but it is the best way that we know how to give you that information. It is separate from, therefore, there is always going to be an element of contrast. When that soul returns back to divine source energy and is completely reunited with divine source energy, that is when the contrast ceases to exist. So if you can imagine a big ball of light, and then there are individual balls of light coming off of that, there's space in between each one of the balls of light. That is the contrast. It is the matter and antimatter. It is something that will be proven in your human world in the next couple of hundred years by your scientists. But until then, this is the best way to describe it.
Wow. Cool. Yeah. This is just really taking us into metaphysical territory. Well, thank you again, Annette, for an enlightening chat.
Thank you.
We'll do it again soon.
All right. Until next time. If you would like to get in touch with either Julia or myself, feel free to head to my website at infinitesoullove.com. You can also follow me on all social media at infinitesoullove1111. And that is on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Thanks so much, and see you next week.